Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we come with hearts that are open and ears that are ready to hear your word so that our lives will be changed and transformed and that we'll accomplish and do all you called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we've been talking about partnership, right?
Amen.
And today we'll continue along that line. We'll talk about partners in this life, partnership. Specifically, like when we think about partnership, what I think about is when someone gets married. You get married and there's a commitment from both sides. And what one has, the other one gets. And what that other one gets, what they have, the other one also has. And specifically, one thing that we recognize is when a man and a woman get married, the woman takes the last name of the man. If she don't want his name, hey, we gotta rethink this. Well, my wife and I we're pretty young. So when we're gonna get married, she goes, "Can I keep my own name?" I said, "You can keep it and you ain't getting me." I said, "That's an insult." Right? Maybe you don't like my last name, but then we ain't gonna get married. Yeah. We were young. We had a fight about that before we got married, didn't we?
It was just a
question.
Discussion.
It's different now.
Yeah. Well, this tells you the world we live in, right? Mm-hmm. But hey, the way I looked at it, no matter how much I loved her, if she didn't want my name, she don't get me. There's something wrong that she wouldn't want my name if she loves me. Right. And if I loved her, I said, "I'll give you my name. It's not worth a whole lot right now. Let's believe that in the future it will be." Right? But as, you know, as the guy, I'm not taking her name. Forget that. Why am I talking about this? Because in your partnership with Jesus, he gave you his name.
Yes, glory.
He didn't give you, he didn't give him your name with all the authority backing you. He gave you his name.
That's good.
And so we're going to look at some things that we do today in his name. Mark 16:17 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Now notice again, it's those that believe, right? He said, "In my name, they'll cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick," right? In his name, or through his name, you have this ability to do these things because of his name.
Amen.
Now, in this partnership, he gave you the legal right to his name. Naturally speaking, back in the day, the way it used to be is when you got married, the wife would take the name of the husband, and then everything he has, all his power and authority, belongs to her. She could use a check and go write whatever she wanted because she had what? His name. Mm-hmm. And even if she made a mistake, like, we're being transparent here, but even if she made a mistake and she overdrafted the account, the one who gave her the name is still accountable to pay for it.
Yes.
I remember one time. Now, this is a long time ago, right? But there was one time, you remember that watermelon? She wanted, well, I didn't tell a different story, but there was this time we wrote a check for a watermelon that was $3. I don't know what happened, but the check bounced. It became a $23 watermelon. I was so mad, I didn't want to eat watermelon for a long time. And I was like, how could we bounce a check for $3, honey? And what had happened was, we had wrote a check for $100 on something. This is like 1990, 91. We were really newly married. And then when she wrote it down in the checkbook, she wrote $10 instead of $100. because that's what the check was for. So we were short. And then I was so angry about having to pay $20 extra for a watermelon that was $3. That I didn't even want the watermelon anyway, because I didn't want to write a check for $3. Why would you just write a check? Okay, that's what happened. But I still had to help pay for that.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't my fault. Because I gave her what? My name. She had the legal right to make a deposit or withdrawal based on my name. Well, thank God Jesus has given us his name.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can't overdraw your account in heaven. Because his name is limitless and his ability to supply whatever you need. Amen.
Amen.
Not like we have on earth where you might be limited, right? It's unlimited. Unlimited potential. So in his name, we see that through faith in his name, those that believe, works are performed. That means things get done, right?
Yes.
Signs and wonders are made available. Power and dominion are granted through his name. You know, now in this life, if you have a problem, he gave you his name. Because the problem you actually see isn't that problem. It's not made in this natural physical world. It's a spiritual issue. And he gave you his name so that you could take that name and use it against the problem. Yes. To correct the problem.
Yeah.
Whatever that problem might be. You know, one problem you could, you know, is real, but you don't see it, say, would be strife. Anybody ever get into strife?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. I testify. Two hands. Right? Well, there's something that happens there. You don't necessarily see it with your physical eyes. I remember I was so excited. You get out of church, you think you could, one, I don't remember where it was. But I remember I was just, oh, praise God. Oh, man, we're going to conquer the world. Jesus, let's go do this. And then something happened. I don't remember exactly what, but strife came. And it was just earlier that day that we were in that message and we were so excited about God and what God's going to do. But when strife came, it was like somebody just took the plug out of the bathtub water. You know, out of the bathtub, everything just drained so fast. That meeting that was just a few hours ago seemed like years ago. Or maybe it never happened. I don't know. But it was the life and the joy and the victory was gone. I'm telling you, it was gone. Why? Because strife had come in. So how do I get rid of that strife? Well, I can repent, that's one. But two, I have to use the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Against that spiritual force.
Yes.
Or that spiritual attack, or what have you. Now, there's no reason to stay in the mode of defeat when you have the ability to get out of it.
Sure.
Through that name, right? So the Lord has granted the ability to use and the right to use his name to overcome the enemy, to work miracles, to get needs met, and to lead others to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny today, in today's society, we read it in scripture, but in today's society, you see people like, you can't pray in school, pray before a football game, you can't use the name of Jesus, you can't do this, you can't read your Bible. Why? Well, the Bible is the word that is Jesus. He is the word. So you see there's this amplified attack on him, on his name. Why? Because that name has power.
Yes.
That name changes things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That name gives you divine ability.
Yes.
And he gave you his name so you can use it here in this life, right?
That's good.
In this realm.
Amen.
You know, Acts 3 is a good example of this. Acts 3. And you can just make note of it. But we see that Peter and John went to go pray. They made a lame man on the way, right? Mm-hmm. And Peter says, silver and gold I don't have.
Yes.
Doesn't mean he doesn't have his money with him. Mm-hmm. He said, but what I do have, I give it to you.
Yes.
And he told the lame man, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now this is interesting because he recognized he had something of value to give to that man. Mm-hmm. You know, even sometimes, you know, this man thought silver and gold was his answer, but it wasn't, was it?
No.
But Peter and John, they recognize we have this name that can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
we have this, it's not money, this is his name. And he grabbed him, picked him up, and the man rose up, was strengthened, and he was healed, right? It says he was healed, verse 16, through the name and through faith in his name, in that name of Jesus. You know, when you're looking at maybe a promotion, a business deal, whatever you're doing, you have that name available to you to rely, to depend, to look to that name. Not just to your own ability or your inability, but to his ability. Because he gave you his name.
Amen.
You become what? His representative.
Yeah.
His representative in this world. Mm-hmm. Say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm one like Christ. You are representing him. So when he gives you his name, everything that he has belongs to you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
But you and I have to recognize this has value. He wouldn't give you something that was meaningless. Anybody ever get a gift that was meaningless? I have.
Yeah.
My grandma would give me socks every Christmas. Like, Grandma, you realize I get the same gift every Christmas.
Yeah.
I haven't even opened the previous three Christmas gifts. I always know they're socks.
And I was a kid,
right? They weren't white tube socks, they were black dress socks. I'm like, Grandma, I'm not going to be wearing these for like a long time. Anyway, but this is what's interesting. Acts 4 says this. It says, the religious leaders, look at verse 17. Acts 4, 17. Talking about the name of Jesus, right? You know, even when Mark 16 that we talked about, it says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because it's the name that's in the healing. The power that's in the name.
Yeah.
It's not in your power. It's not in your ability. It's just in your obedience to pray for others using that name and having confidence that when you pray, Jesus will do what he said he would do.
Yes.
Right? So Acts 4, look at verse 17. But so it spread that the religious leaders are talking here. They said, now there was the miracle that was done, Acts 3, and there's great revival, things are happening, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no to no man in this name. Mm-hmm. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you be the judge. So here we just simply see that they threaten them, the religious leaders of the day, threaten Peter and John, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Don't teach it, don't preach it. Why? Because things were happening within the community. Now you would think that if somebody was a religious leader that cared about people and somebody was sick and you prayed for them and they got healed, you would think that'd be a great thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, right.
Especially if you were the person who got healed.
Right.
But not so. They would get mad. They'd get angry because somebody got healed. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus would, you know, his following would grow. So they forbid them. They told them, no more preaching or teaching in that name. If you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 28, said they forbid them again to teach in that name. Why? Because they didn't listen. They went out and they're still preaching and teaching in what? The name of Jesus. They realized, the disciples realized, they had something in that name. That name would change situations. That name would change circumstances. That name would change hearts. That name was valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a curse word. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That name was life-giving. You know, you think about, Romans talks about, if you believe in that name of Jesus and confess that name, that you will be saved.
Yes, yes.
That name changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that name, but faith in that name. Change. It changed you from going, your whole destiny from going to hell to heaven.
Right.
Well, if it could change that in that area, What else could it change?
Right.
Anything else that you could believe it to change?
Right.
It could change.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Look at Acts, keep going, verse 40. So they threaten him and tell him, no more talking about this guy. No more. And then Peter just preaches a message to him. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God, scroll up, who has given to those who obey him. So this is even talking about not only being saved, but that the Lord wants to give you the Holy Spirit in all his fullness, right? Including the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If we would what? Obey him. Obedience is just receiving what he's already done. So when they heard this, they were furious and they plotted to kill him. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, commanded them to put the apostles outside for a while. And he said, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you're intending to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theodosius rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the day of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with them, and when they called for the apostles, they beat them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they agreed with what Gamaliel said, but then they went out and did what? They still beat him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they commanded them again, don't speak in the name of Jesus. Not in someone else's name or some other disciple's name, but in the name of Jesus. Because that name has power.
Yeah.
That name, there's been so much invested in that name. You understand? And Jesus gave you what? His name. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. Talking about the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5. And look at verse 4. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here in Corinthians, they recognize they gather together because of that name.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of their gathering was in that name. They weren't afraid to offend someone over that name. They recognized, hey, we're here because of who? Jesus.
That's good.
We're gathering together because of that name.
Yes, yes.
That person.
Yes.
That one we believe in. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you look at today, people gather for all kinds of reasons. Sunday, I know it's a football thing. Some gather for football. They gather in the name of their favorite football team.
So you saw them change everything.
Yeah.
So how much power is in that football team's name? How life-changing is it? Right?
Yeah.
But here they gathered in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
Matthew, you know this. Matthew 18 says this, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the middle of them.
Yes.
So when we come to church and we assemble, the purpose is to be focused, what? On the person of Christ. Our fellowship is Christ-centered around that name. We recognize the name and the power that comes with it.
Yes.
And that's why it's a big deal how we react and interact with one another. Because
mm-hmm.
we're part of that name.
Yes.
We're part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So when we come together, we're not trying to get one over on each other. You think you can get anything over on Jesus? You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't the best kid. I was pretty close to the best. But, you know, when I say I never really did anything wrong, I did some things, like, you know, I'd throw snowballs and stuff like that at people or whatever, but I didn't know. But one thing I never messed with was the church.
Yeah.
Not even the building. I wouldn't use it as target practice for snowballs, nothing. I'm not messing with the church, man. Whether it was a Lutheran church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church, Catholic, I ain't touching the church. Why? And I knew God. I had I knew of God. For me being my age, I thought I'm pretty good. But I had a respect for God. That I don't touch the church. Mm. Don't even pull the, roses. Don't give them, go home and take them to mama. Nothing. I'm not touching it, right? Why? Because I recognize that there is a God. Mm-hmm. And I did have inside of you have this sense that you were created. You can ignore that. You know that you're going to have to give an account one day to someone higher than you, right? You can refuse it, but it doesn't go away. It's still there. It's still tugging at your heart. So we recognize that name and that power of that name. So when we come together because of Him.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And that's why staying away isn't a good thing. Because then you're absent from Him or from the assembly of that name.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever been, I heard, it was an interesting study, what they did, it wasn't very nice for one zebra, but they took a zebra and researchers, they clipped its ears at the top. They wanted to see what would happen among the herd. Like there's a herd of zebra. And they want to see how's the herd going to interact with this zebra. Well, what happened was the herd interacted okay, but the lions picked that zebra because they could identify it out of all the other zebras as the one that we're going to target.
Wow.
So he was the first one to go. Because rather than all the zebras running and all the stripes and the lions getting confused, like, which one do we go after? They didn't look at that. They just looked at the ears. Mm-hmm. We can follow the ears because he's different.
Mm-hmm.
We can separate him out of the rest of the pack.
Interesting.
As a believer, staying at home, you kind of get separated from the rest of the pack.
That's good.
I know I'm talking to the choir because you're here.
Yeah.
But when the enemy tempts you to avoid assembling together, just ask yourself the question, is he trying to clip my ears? Is he trying to clip my ears? You don't want your ears clipped, and you know what I'm saying? So here's another thing about the name of Jesus. Ephesians 5:20. Not only do we gather in his name, not only has he given us his name, but Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Means we give thanks to God in that name. We should be thanking Him, not just for that name, but when He blesses us or He increases us or He gives us, we thank Him in that name.
Mm.
Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus. You've done all this for me.
Yes.
Right? And when you're thanking Him, let's flip this around. Can you be unthankful in the name of Jesus? Grumbling and complaining in that name?
Yes.
God, how come you don't do more for me in Jesus' name? I'm just so unhappy, miserable. You're not fair, God, in Jesus' name. Can't really do that.
No.
So thanking Him in His name is actually protects you
That's
from
good.
Grumbling and complaining.
That's good.
Because you don't grumble and complain in Jesus' name. You give thanks in His name, and so you should. Right? But you don't grumble and complain in His name. If you went to church, I could just see you, man, this is like, I'm just so unthankful for everything in Jesus' name. It doesn't make sense. You're like, what? So if you just add in Jesus' name to things, it can kind of tell you if you're of the right mindset, if you're grumbling and complaining, or you're giving thanks and you're happy and you're joyful, right?
That's
so
good.
Giving thanks in his name. Now, it may not be, you know, you thanking him for something may not be everything right now, but as you're thankful for what you do have, and you exercise your thanksgiving muscles, what happens? You get increased, so you have more to be thankful for. You know, why, and, you know, we use this illustration with little kids, but why would we give more to someone when they're not thankful for what they already have? Would you do that? You know, your little kid doesn't want to take care of their stuff, throws it around, leaves it in the room, they want more. You think, well, hey, you got to clean up what you have. You have to take care of what you have.
That's right. Yeah.
They say, no, I don't want you. I want to do something else. I want more. There's this Barbie movie. Oh, what was the name? It was maybe the Magic Wand Barbie. But there's this girl, and Melusha,
yeah.
Right? And her theme was, I want it all. I want it now. Right? That was kind of her theme. Huh? She says, don't tell me no. Just tell me how. Right? This is a little theme song. So my girls are watching this. And she wants more and more and more. She always wants more. Not thankful for anything. Right? And then finally, you know, some things happen in the movie. She gets put in her place. In a sense, her parents come home and they said, Melusha, have you been a good girl? She goes, I don't know. And they go, Melusha. And I'm looking at that, my girls are watching that, I say, hey, you don't get no spirit of Melusha on you. Because God's going to increase you as you give thanks for what you have.
That's right.
Not wanting what everybody else has.
Yeah.
Right? And not being thankful for what you have. Let's try to spiritualize those movies, but as we give thanks for what the Lord's done for us, what will he do? He'll increase us more.
Amen.
Because we're using our muscles of thanksgiving, so that enables us to grow so we can be thankful for more.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
As we appreciate and take care and thank God for what we have, we qualify, in a sense, to be thankful for more. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, and here's another thing. So we talked about assembling together, giving thanks in his name, coming together to meet in his name. Colossians 3:17 says this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever is done should be done in that name. Amen? This is whatever you do. Do it as unto the Lord, or do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So is everything that you and I, that we do, is it good? Is it for or in the name of the Lord? Or are we just maybe, you know, it's hard to be selfish in the name of the Lord. I want to serve myself in Jesus' name. You know, it's like, well, think about what am I doing? And if I'm doing it, is it pleasing to the Lord? It's hard to sin in Jesus' name. It's hard to tell a lie in Jesus' name. Like, word or deed. Lord, I'm going to lie here. Thank you for giving me the ability to lie. I just want to thank you in advance. I hope they believe it. In Jesus' name. And then I can get forgiveness afterwards. In Jesus' name. That ain't going to work. If we recognize everything that we do, we should give him thanks in word and in what? Deed. It will protect you from doing the wrong thing. Think about that. If you're traveling, you know, we're in Proverbs this month, right?
Yes.
And I was acting real spiritual. I'm like, man, I'm on chapter 10. I've already read this like twice over. I am so spiritual. Right? Notice the word I in there? Not, Lord, thank you for sharing with me your word. Mm-hmm. Thank you for revelation. That wasn't included. But something dawned on me. You know, It talks a lot about the road you travel, right? And it talks about, well, I was listening to it and reading it, the Message version, King James, and Amplified. But one of the things I recognize is for the wrong road, the road that, you know, when even if you lie or you're sinning and you're on that road, at some point, doesn't matter how smart you are, that road is going to give you a hard knock. A bumpy road. It's going to knock you off. It'll be washed out. Something bad's going to happen on that road, because that's what that road is, right? Where if you take, you know, the righteous road, it may not look like you're going as fast, but the road will be smooth and it'll be without, you know, without hurt, without harm. You won't have to do so much on your own to try to make it, because you're on the right road.
Amen.
The fact that, you know, when I was in school, a professor said to me, he said, the best crimes are the ones that a criminal only commits one time. He said, because they're very, very hard to solve. Usually criminals, what they do is they get away with it, then what happens? They do it again, they do it again, and they do it again, right? He said, but the fact that you could think you could only do it once, and you do it, that's the problem. Because when you do it, you're on the wrong road. Mm. You know, you commit that crime, you're already on the wrong road. So you think I would just stop. You wouldn't. Because the fact you went to that road means you're going to keep doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? That you wouldn't stop at only one time.
Yeah.
You know? So he would say, the perfect crime is to go to a place where you don't know anyone, you don't tell anyone, and you've never been there before. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm taking notes. But if you were to do that, there's already some internal flaw that will cause you to get caught. Because you're on what? The wrong road. So when you're reading through Proverbs, I'm reading this, I'm like, man, if we would just stay on the right road, life would be so easy.
Yes.
Right? It would be so much better. Here, whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all to the name of the Lord Jesus. And so you just have to question, when you're doing something, you know, if it's a halfway done job, should I do it better?
Yeah.
Should I do it as unto Him?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or, it's good enough. Well, good enough for who? Are you doing it as unto the Lord? See, these are the things that it would change our thinking, right? Mm-hmm. This it can make an impact in our life. So whatever works we do, it should be done in the name of the Lord. And whatever we say, it should be said in the name of the Lord. With that spirit that He hears me. I'm doing this as unto what? As unto Him. All right, next one. Ready? Mm-hmm. So what do we have? We assemble together in His name. We give thanks in His name. Whatever we do and say should be done, what, in His name. And look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is His commandment.
Yeah.
That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us, what, commandment. Mm-hmm. Now if I ask the question, of course, what is a command? It's something, it's an order, it's a direct, you know, order, charge, you could say, that you are supposed to get something done or accomplished. It is not an option.
Right.
It's not something you think about. Like, oh, that's a good thought. I'll think about that. If the Lord said, love one another, that's an interesting suggestion, Lord. I'm going to think that one over. Whether I choose to do it or not, right? I'm just going to think about it for a little bit. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that, Lord. No, He said this is His command.
Yes.
That we should, number one, believe on that name. Mm-hmm. Believe in that name. How many Christians, or, you know, you would think they are to believe to get saved. They have to believe in the name.
Right.
But He's talking not just for your salvation, but for other areas in life. What about prayer? What about getting needs met? What about miracles? What about authority? What about solving problems in your life? You're supposed to believe in that name. Remember he said this, he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Well, the problem is, why don't we always ask him? Because we don't believe he'll do it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, why didn't you pray more? Because you didn't think he's going to answer your prayer, so what's the point? Right?
Yeah.
Don't raise your hand. No, oh, that's me. Right? Pray for me. No, don't pray for me, because I don't think he'll answer the prayer. Never mind. That's what he said. Believe in his name. Believe in him. That name has power. It's the same reason the Pharisees were trying to get them to not preach that name. Amen? It's his name. You're just supposed to believe in it. You don't have to do everything with it.
That's right.
You just believe in the name.
Yes.
Right? And then, you know, that saying, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Right? But he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will grant it to you. That name gives you access.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Gives you dominion. Gives you authority. But if you don't take that name to heart, to recognize, hey, he gave me something. He gave me his name. I have his name. Then you'd be at a disadvantage. I would be at a disadvantage. Amen? So when you pray, pray in that name. Because Jesus said so.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Amen.
I mean, if he said so, then he said so. Amen?
Yes.
Look at this. Now, I came to this conclusion. Right? It says, we are reminded that it is a commandment to actively believe in the name of the Lord. This believing in the name of Jesus empowers us to what? If you look at that verse, to love one another as he commanded. When we fail to believe in that name and that through his name all things are possible, we cease to believe that we have the ability to love as he commanded. If he commanded us, you love one another, what do we sometimes say? Oh, but Lord, you don't know. These guys are tough. This is a tough crowd. These people, they're so unlovely. They're hard to love. Like you were easy. Right? But if you believe in his name,
yes,
and this commandment, well, he commanded you to love them. See, if I'm really believing him, then I have to love them. Because he said I could, if I believe on his name. If I'm not loving them, then really I'm not believing on his name. Because he said, what? That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Because if I'm believing in him, all things are possible. That means I can love this person if I choose. Because
yeah,
all things are possible to him who believes, and who believes on his name. But if I choose not to love, then I'm really saying, all things are not possible because I'm not choosing to believe on his name. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't use the excuse, I can't love them. No, you're just saying you're not believing on his name, which he commanded you to do.
Yeah.
Oh, faith, you know, warrior that you are. How can you say, I can do this and this, I can move mountains, I pray, I do all this stuff, but I can't love that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. Yeah. Loving them is big. Well, no, you're small. I would be acting small because he said if I just simply believe on his name and his commandment to what? Love one another. He's not even talking about the world. He's talking about what? Loving each other.
That's good.
You know, why is it that sometimes we love those in the world more than we do one another?
Uh-oh.
Be happy, everyone. Just ask a question. Isn't it easier, though? You think, oh, I'm going to love the world. And he never really, I mean, for God so loved the world, but how many verses do you have that you can recall where it says you're supposed to love the world or the sinner more than you're supposed to love the church,
yeah,
or the believer? He keeps telling you to love the believer. Those in the church. You're thinking, no, I don't want to love them. I want to go love someone in the world. Because then I can bring them into the church. But why don't you love the ones in the church so they can go bring other people into the church?
Yeah.
Why would you want to go get someone from the world into the church when you won't love those in the church? Now you just bring another one that you don't love into the church. makes sense. He's to love those in the church, and yet, I'm telling you, sometimes we think, I never thought about that, but that, think about it. If I'm not loving those in the church, why do I want to go out and get into the world to bring someone into the church who I'm not loving anyway? It ain't different. Because you got to practice your love on one another, then when the world sees how much you love each other, they'll want in on the deal.
Yes.
The problem is you talk about, I could talk about love, but we don't demonstrate it. Mm-hmm. And then the world says, well, you're just like me, but you go to church on Sunday. There's no difference between us. You're thinking, oh, maybe there's not. I'm saved. Well, yeah, but you're supposed to be more than just saved.
Yeah.
This is a commandment, right?
Right, right.
That you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another.
Amen.
This is His commandment. This is what He's called us, commanded us to do. This isn't something you have a choice. Why? Because He's trying to keep you on the right road, on the road full of light and life and love. And if you're on that road, things go smooth. When you get out of love, you get into what? Trouble. Remember, the Bible says that if you fail to love, you walk in what? Darkness? Mm-hmm. You don't want to walk in darkness because you can't see where you're going. You want to stay on the light path. Amen?
That's good. Amen.
All right. Mark 9:37, we're just about done. Says, whosoever shall receive one of these little children in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me receives not me, but him that sent me. The idea here is, you notice that the receiving part, receiving even the little children or the other people, you're receiving them in the name of Jesus. Or like, as his representative, you're standing in his place, in his name, or just like that was him. He said, and whoever's received them in my name did just receive me, but received my Father who what? Who sent me. Mm. So Jesus is simply saying it like this. You receive them in my name. That's just like receiving me. And that's just like receiving my Father. Mm. Now break it down this way. If I told Joe, that's a common name. Joe. Go tell Barry to tell Mark to tell Tony to tell, you know, my wife to meet me at 11 a.m. at the restaurant. So that whole thing goes through. Well, if somebody breaks that chain of communication, she's not going to get the message. Right? You say, well, I don't believe you, Joe. Or Barry didn't believe Joe, or Barry, Mark didn't believe Barry, Mark didn't believe, Tony didn't believe Mark, or, you know, all the way, Steve fell out, didn't want to talk, because he was busy, right? Well, what happens when we do that with the Lord? He said, if you receive me, then you receive the Father who sent me. As his representative, when you get rejected for preaching Jesus or living the Jesus life, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him.
That's right.
They're not rejecting just him, they're rejecting the Father who what? Sent him.
That's good.
So when you got his name, you're his representative.
Amen.
And he takes it very personal. How? Remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus stopped him and he said, Paul, why do you persecute me? Mm. And Paul stopped and said, well, who are you, Lord? Question mark. And he said, I am Jesus who you persecuted. Mm. But Paul never persecuted Jesus.
Yeah.
He wasn't there at the cross. He didn't do any of that. But what he did do is he was consenting and pushing for others to stone Stephen. Mm. You know, Stephen in the book of Acts, he was just a waiter. Just a waiter. Just a person serving people, right? Mm. Paul goes, hey, give me a rope. Give me a coat. I'll hold it for you. Pick up some big rocks. I'll hold the coats. That's what he did.
Yeah.
We should kill this guy. But these coats are so heavy. Oh, hey, give me a coat. I'll hold them for you so they won't get dirty.
Wow.
Think about it. And Jesus didn't say, Paul, why did you kill? Why are you persecuting Stephen? He said, why are you persecuting me?
Mm.
You know, and like one preacher said, Jesus didn't stop him there to ask him that question. just because he was curious. He's going to end this persecution one way or the other. Mm. Paul was smart enough to say, okay, I repent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But Jesus took it personal because why? They were preaching in his stead, in his place, his name. It wasn't about him or his kingdom. It wasn't about them. It was about him. It was about the Lord. So when you see, you look through the book of Acts, you see all these different things. It's always about Jesus, what he's doing.
Yeah.
In his name, these things are being done. And the wonderful news is he gave us his name. He gave it to us. But do we believe in it? We've heard it, but how much do we actually sit and think about, I got his name. What could I do with his name? He gave me that right to use his name. All right, last scripture. Matthew 8. I'll tell you the story, basically. This is the story of the Roman centurion, right? And he comes to Jesus and he talks about his servant is near death. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, okay, I will come and I will pray for him. If we can read it. I will come and I will heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, I say to you, or truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. What is this about? He said, I recognize the authority of your name, Jesus. Why? Because I operate in authority. I'm a centurion. So I can tell somebody, I just tell somebody my word, and they do what I say. You have much more authority than me. All I need for you is to give me your word, and I know that whatever sickness, disease, or ailment is wrong with my servant, that it will be gone. Simply because of your word. And Jesus marveled, and those following him said, I haven't seen faith like this. Why? It was solely at his word. He recognized the power of Jesus' word. Amen? He recognized it. He said, I understand how this works because I'm a boss. I'm a big boss too. I tell people, servants, go do this, and they do it. Only by speaking my word. Mm-hmm. And you, I see you have even greater authority. And Jesus, he just said, speak it out. You don't have to come to my house. You just say it. I know it'll be done. Doesn't matter how it's done. I know it will be done. And Jesus stopped and he said, man, this man has great faith. What about you and I? Right? As we meditate, as we think about this name that's been given to us, this name of Jesus, when we see this thing's not right, there's problems in our life or the enemy attacks us, you have that name. I mean, think about it. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, the storms of life. He spoke to it and it obeyed him. And people are like, oh, this is, they can't take, look at this. The wind and the waves obey him. And he gave you that name.
Amen.
So when the enemy has a storm, something he's blowing at you in your life, you have a name to say, shh, be still.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Be calm.
Amen.
Money come in. Bills go away. Healing flow.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You have that name.
Yes.
Your confidence and your trust should be what? In that name.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And Jesus, we thank you that you gave us your name. You gave us the right and the ability to use your name, to speak your name to situations and circumstances and problems in life, not just from our a head of knowledge, but from a heart of faith. From where we believe, we have faith in that name. That name can move mountains. That name can calm the storms. That name can heal. That name can mend. That name can work miracles and wonders through faith in your name. And you gave us that name.
Yes.
We thank you that we're privileged and we're honored to have your name. Let us respect it. Let us reverence it. Let us recognize all that's invested in that name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, Jesus. And we just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, show us during our day, just our daily activities during the week, Lord, to use that name, to rely and cling on that name. Because when we assemble, when we give thanks in our actions and whatever we do, but we do so in that name, and we just thank you for that name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get ready to take up our offering and our tithes and our offering. And as we give with what? A happy, cheerful, glad heart.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
We are so thankful that we have the ability to give to the Lord, and that if you need an envelope, raise your hand. If you need two envelopes because you want to double up, that's okay. But we recognize that all that we have comes from Him. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Your abilities to think and create and achieve and to do what you possess, your strength, your life, it all comes from Him. And, you know, as we give, I'm excited because you think about day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you're giving, and you should be believing to receive too, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
We can keep giving.
Yes.
You're not. I don't want you to give with the idea like it's just going out.
That's
right. There it goes.
No.
There it goes. Kind of sigh. Wow. There it goes. No. You have the idea that you're sowing, and that what you're sowing, God's also going to bring opportunities and bless you and increase you back. You want to be actively believing Him for a return. Amen?
Yes.
On your giving. You should be increasing. You shouldn't be decreasing. Right? You should be increasing.
Amen.
You should be, you know, the Lord is increasing me. And He is causing people to give to me properties, homes, possessions, and lands. Why? So you can establish His kingdom in the earth. So I don't want, you know, oh, I could talk a few minutes about this. I got a few minutes. No, I tell you what. I don't know. This past week, I was praying, I think, more for y'all than what I normally pray for y'all. I don't know why. Hope you guys tell me why. I don't know why. Lord, I'm not really praying for these people. But not in a bad way, but just in a good way. I was like, you know, so much, you know, I think so much I want them to get, so much
yes,
I want
Lord.
Them to receive.
Yes,
you know,
Lord.
So much I want you to do in their life.
Yes.
I want to see them stand before you.
Yes.
You know, hearing those words, well done, my
good
and faithful
yes.
servant.
Yes.
Serving you is not hard, it's not a drudgery, it's not like, oh, it's so heavy and hard and difficult. It's not like that. I want them to be excited. And I didn't just pray, you know, as a corporate, real quick, 1 minute prayer. Lord bless them all. Increase them all. No, I mean, I was like praying, like,
yes.
Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I'm praying for them.
Yeah, right.
I want them to do more than they could ever think they could do.
Amen.
To receive more. To
yes.
Just overall,
yes.
Trust Him more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes. Not to be scared, not to feel like you're going to lack or fall behind. But that you're establishing something with Him, a relationship, a partnership, you know. And this past week especially so, I think, well, if this keeps increasing, I'm going to have to spend more time praying for Him.
Yeah.
I want you to get it, though.
Yes.
I don't want you to lack anything.
That's right.
You know, I want you to have a full supply, not just in the area of money, but in peace.
Yes.
And confidence and faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That He's you know, see what you don't know is sometimes we get all kinds of phone calls. People call us about this and that. And we're like, you know, here's your answer.
Yeah.
It's what the Lord showed me. Yeah, I don't think so. I think this should be that. No, that's it. I can't tell you anything more. I mean, if I told you, really, this is what the Lord told me, what I'm impressed to share, this is it. Have you done that? Did you do what, you know, He said, well, give me something else. I can't really give you anything else if I felt like this is what the Lord told me to do. So now I pray that you just do what He told you to do. So you know, I'm telling you, that is so important.
Amen.
You know, it's not just giving.
Yeah.
That's a small part. It's the obedience of giving. It's the obedience of trusting, but it's the obedience of doing the other things he tells you to do.
That's right.
Like, there's something he challenged me to do, and I was like, I don't really want to do that. You know, you ask your flesh, I don't want to feel like doing that. But I knew, hey, this is important, so I'll go do it.
Yeah.
And have to fight traffic and long lines and things like that, but you get it done.
Amen.
Amen. And you get it done because you want a clean or clear conscience before him. So when we give, really, we give with a heart of gratitude and joy. That, Lord Jesus, I want you to worship the Father with this offering. And as I'm presenting it to you, I thank you for increasing me and establishing your covenant here on earth that we're partnering together. Lord, I thank you so much for just using me. Amen. And allowing me to be a part of what you're doing in this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay.